Welcome to the hit show, The Brilliance Ultimatum. Time's up. We have the power. We have the resources. We have the knowledge. We have the intellect. We have the innovation, and we have the heart to create a world based on parity, practical innovation, and potential. This hit show with Claudette Rowley will take us on a journey so we can explore our planet, our global community, and our opportunity for transformation. We need a cultural revolution that allows us to look past political squabbles, lack of humanity, and to what she calls reality resistance. So tune in. This is the Brilliance Ultimatum. And time's up.
Hi, everybody. This is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up, on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience what's going well in the world and the opportunity for transformation that's upon us. On the second and fourth Fridays of each month, we have some of the foremost change makers, action takers, and truth tellers helping you re-envision what's possible on our planet and in our world. I'm really excited about today's guest, Jan Tuton, who is the CEO of Econocom, a digital services company in the Netherlands. And he and I are going to be talking about the power of remote work and wanderlust and what happens when we start prioritizing experiences over possessions. So Jan is also the president of the French Chamber of Commerce in the Netherlands, and he is a strong believer in what he calls location independence movement. And he and I will talk more about that. He believes that the associated focus on experiences versus possessions presents a new opportunity in corporations. From his own experience, he sees three CEOs dealing with three major challenges: shifting business models, integrating startup mentality into company culture, and attracting the Y generation. So we are going to have a great interview. And Jan loves to integrate this way of working in the projects he takes on to integrate innovative solutions and improve employee experience. So welcome, Jan.
Welcome, and are you sure 1 hour is enough, Claudette?
Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe we'll book a second show. Excellent. Happy you're here.
I've
been looking forward to our conversation, right? Because you talk about a lot of things that I think have many of us, you know, open our minds a little more, right, and start to think differently. So tell us a little bit more about this whole concept of prioritizing experiences over possessions. So what have you learned through that process?
The experiences are something that we all want to have. And if you look at Airbnb, for example, Airbnb is offering not a place to sleep anymore. They are offering an experience. If you go on the platform, they say, have an experience in Amsterdam, have an experience in Milano, whatsoever. So the idea of experience is something that is very, I would say, demanded by the market at the moment. And I think this is really what the next generation is asking. Instead of owning and being the owner of a lot of goods that provide a very little amount of experience, the new generation, the upcoming I would say people that are 20 years old today are looking for the opportunity to experience without having the burden of the possession. And I give you concrete examples, like Netflix. You know, it's very obvious now to use Netflix, but if you look back like 5 years ago, I was still going to the DVD shop in the evening to rent a DVD. You know? And I had a DVD player to run this DVD. And I had a TV to run this whole movie. So it was a complete different experience than today. I log into Netflix from any device and I just watch my series. It's only 5 years ago. And it's a very good example of being the owner of a DVD player, of a TV, and having to rent a DVD or to buy a DVD versus the experience we have today on Netflix. Well, this you can apply to everything you do in life. Mm. You can apply to every possession you have. And this is where the experience kicks in. And I can take some examples like your washing machine, your car, your bicycle, your Sonos sound system, your anything you have around you that you own is being offered into a service model, into an experience model. This is something that is really more and more obvious on the market and for the new generation. And personally, I've decided to organize my life this way, and I've decided to downsize my life. Because like a lot of people in my position, especially being a CEO, I have the opportunity to make good money. And what do I do with this money? Like everyone, I pile up goods. I pile up a big house. I have a swimming pool. I have a boat. I have a car. I have a motorbike. I have all those things that are the way you spend your money when you make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And at the end, those things are not providing me the experience I want, because I have to take so much time to maintain them that the time I spend to take care of those goods is against the time I have to experience them.
Fascinating. So, yeah.
So what
changes? So you said you're making some, you're downsizing, right? You're making changes. What's an example of a change that you've made?
Well, I've decided to sell this big house and to live in a small apartment in a city center, mm-hmm. Which I call it my hotel room.
Your hotel room.
So this is a place where I sleep, and this is a place where I do not even eat anymore. I have a very simple kitchen, but very basic. And for example, I decided not to have a coffee machine. I love coffee, but I decided no coffee machine. No, if you want a coffee, you walk down the building, you walk down the street, and you have a coffee at the coffee corner. You will have an experience instead of just a coffee. And so on and so on. So I've decided to stop with my car. I use public transport. I use car sharing. I use a bicycle. I use everything you can imagine to move. But I've decided not to be the owner of my car, because the burden of having a car was higher than the experience I have from it. And again, the list is quite long, but yeah. I invite everyone who is listening to this podcast to think, okay, how much time did I spend this last year on a year to do things that are completely unuseful or that are dedicated to the experience that I don't have?
So when people shift to focusing more on the experience, what changes for them?
Headspace.
Got it.
Headspace. Yeah. It creates a huge amount of headspace to focus on the inner journey, the experience you live, and on the enrichment you get from the inside and not from the outside.
So it shifts. So it sounds like this is a huge paradigm shift, isn't it?
It is.
And so I'm curious, what led you on this particular journey of focusing on experience?
Yeah, this is some frustrations. I had piled up some frustrations of not realizing it, but you know, of ticking the boxes of what society expects from you in a specific position. You know? Mm-hmm. Again, if you're a CEO, you have to have a big house, you have to have a big car, you have to invite people, your customers on a Friday evening for a big dinner extra. And this was not making me happy. And the way I realized that is during a very long sailing trip. I crossed the Atlantic on a sailboat in 2017. And I've been 3 weeks at sea without anything else than this boat. I was in the crew. I was not on my own. That's for the next time. Do it alone. I was on my own. I was not on my own. And being at sea like this, you're in a very close environment, only the boat. And you're in very, very, very limited resources. And I realized that I was very happy with those limited resources and the resources that are just needed for this experience. And when I was back on the shore on the other side, I thought, this what I've experienced here on this boat, I want to bring it in my life. And then this is where I decided to be very much focused on the experience and have only the resources around me that helped me to the experience and no more.
Wow. So it was something, it sounds like it sounds transformational, right? That trip in 2017 transformed your life.
Yes,
or started the beginning
definitely.
Of it. Yeah, started at the beginning of it.
Yeah, the awareness, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. The awakening. Yeah. So I, if anybody can do it, I advise to, you know, to take distance from your life and try to be very, very light in what you bring with you. Go for a trip with only suit, hand luggage for a month, for example, and see how you experience it. Just try. You can always come back, but just give a try. Be very, very light. You know, I always travel myself hand luggage now. I never register a suitcase in a plane. And I see those people walking through the airports with those big suitcase, and they have to queue and to wait for the suitcase on the luggage belt. And I'm like, why? You know, why? Just to have four pairs of trousers where you will only wear one anyway. So It's another example, you know, when traveling, travel light. That's also a way to get used to this focus on the experience and not on the position.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great, easy example, right? Anybody can challenge themselves with, right? I'm going to put a suitcase in the overhead bin, right? How can I pack so efficiently that I can make it work? That's a great easy example.
Or a month.
Right. Rather than, you know, downsizing from the house to the small, right? You know what I mean? Start small, see what it's like for you.
Just try on small topics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this really interesting conversation, but also shift into how do we apply this to business, which I think is really fascinating. You're listening to The Brilliance Ultimatum. Time's up. I'm Claudette Rowley. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by your mind? Powerless when it seems to spin in worry circles or bombard you with self-critical thoughts? Do you want to learn how to master your mind and feel more in control of your life? Listen to Dr. Friedman's Empowerment Radio. Shift from confusion to clarity, self-doubt to confidence, and from anxiety to peace and balance. Dr. Friedman and his many guest experts share the insights and tools you want to live with greater ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in to Empowerment Radio every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
We're back on The Brilliance Ultimatum. I am Claudette Rowley. And if you're just joining us, my guest today is Jan Toutant, who is the CEO of Econocom, a Netherlands-based digital services company. And he and I are talking about this really fascinating topic of what shifts and changes for us when we start focusing on our experiences versus our possessions and what that mindset shift really means. And so I know, Jan, you were sharing with me a lot of your own personal experiences with this awakening, right? With this breakthrough and transformation. And I know that in your leadership role, you have really brought this into the business world, haven't you? This idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about that. Yeah.
Of course, because there's not that much difference between your work life and your private life. So what you find interesting in your private life, why not bring it to work?
Why not?
To the work part of it.
Right. Yeah.
There are two main areas where I've applied it. I've applied it to the business model, to what we offer to our customer, and I've applied it to the way we work within the company. I'm going to start with the way we offer our solutions to our customers. We have decided to offer to our customer also an experience and not a product. Basically, in the case of the business we are in, we offer, part of our offer was to provide organizations the means to do everything around digital signage. So every time there's a screen involved, we were offering our companies our services. So for example, you have digital signage in your public spaces in your company, you have video conferencing solutions, you have screens to display information. Every time a screen was involved, we were here to offer a screen and the maintenance services. We have decided to offer our customer a solution which we call digital signage as a service. And so we have decided to offer them the experience of what the screen shows and not to buy the screen. So we offer our customer the experience of a good video conferencing, of a good digital signage solution, but in a way that is being offered to them by focusing on the experience. So instead of selling a screen which is 60 inch and that millions of pixels, no, we sell an experience, which is when you will be in this room, you will experience a seamless conferencing experience with good sound, good image, whatsoever, without talking about the brand or the specs or whatsoever of the platform we use for that. And this is big success on the market to turn the transactional business, which we were used to sell a product and some services attached to it, we sell an experience. And in fact, we don't even sell the experience. We offer the experience in a subscription-based model.
And so what have your customers said? What is the feedback?
Yeah, the feedback is, first of all, they have a lot of resistance because we want to know what we buy and it's a black box and where are the discounts, etc. This is the first reaction. But when we, like we said before, like we told, okay, let's give a try on half of your building, for example, or half of your meeting rooms. And just have the two solutions living next to each other and you will see how you feel it. And after a few months of experience, our customers switched to it. And even very large customers, large organizations with like 700 meeting rooms or 5,000 screens. I'm not authorized to name the name of the customer, unfortunately. But they have made the switch to go to pay for an experience instead of buying some screens.
Interesting. And so they come out, overcome that resistance, and then they realize this is so much better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. So, and I really like that way that, you know, that you all have chosen to do it, which is giving them both options, right? Here you go, side by side. You choose what you like better, right?
Yeah.
Great way to handle it.
Yeah.
And what about internally in the company with employees? How is this, applied to them? Yeah.
What I've offered to my employees is the principle of remote work. And I've been inspired by joining some conferences of location-independent entrepreneurs who are used to work without any office, without any team. Everything is distributed throughout the world. And I was back at my office with the buildings, with the people, and I was like, this is stupid. This is stupid to ask everyone to be here in the morning at 8:30 and to drive 1 or 1 hour and a half or to commute 1 hour and a half. And to commute again 1 hour and a half in the evening, what for? You know, is this just to be present here to for the management to be able to express their leadership because they have their team around them? I think this is old-fashioned. This is old school. This is a Jurassic approach of management. So I've decided to offer my management team and my employee the possibility to work remote, fully work remote, and not to be obliged to come to the office. And of course, this creates a big shift in a company culture. And I've made it in different steps. And the first step has been to be remote within the office. So it's to go for a full flex desk solution where people can work anywhere they want within the office.
Okay.
But it can sound very basic because a lot of companies have adopted it. But my goal in putting this in motion is to make people remote. Because if you're remote in your office, then you're used to be remote and you're used to work without paper, for example, and you're used to change location every day. But in a swimming pool, before learning to swim in the ocean, you learn to swim within a closed environment. I've also applied it to managers. So also the managers had no office anymore. Managers every morning had to also work from the open space to also rethink their leadership instead of being sitting in an office and being, you know, strong in their position with a big office around them and a big car. No, you have to express your leadership in a different way than with your possessions, but by your impressions and experiences. The second step has to offer employees to work from customers or suppliers. If you visit a customer, if you visit a supplier, ask him to work there from the day and don't come to the office before and go to the supplier and come back to the office after. No, go direct to the supplier, do your meeting there and stay there and work from there. It's great. It's a great way to be remote and you can experience the company culture of your suppliers. Mm-hmm. And the third step is to offer people subscription to co-working space so they can work from a co-working space next to their house so they don't have to commute. And the last option is to work from their holiday destinations. Go on holidays for a week, well, stay an extra week and work from there. And then nice. You experience a longer stay on your holiday location. And you experience a completely different environment to trigger your productivity and your creativity. So those are the four steps I've implemented in the organization to focus on experiences instead of positions.
Thanks for sharing that. I really like this. And, you know, I'm impressed with how you really have given people options to experience a small phase of it, right? Like, work remotely within the office, right? You no longer have your own particular desk, right? So you're going to find a desk and be there. Yes. And I know some companies that will just flip a switch. They'll say, okay, now we're all remote, right? And there's no transition, right? There's no phasing in of it. And people, of course, freak out and, you know, get really upset and stressed. Well, some people do and some people probably don't, right? But you get that response, right, when change is too quick. And also, I'm curious with your managers, right? When you said about rethinking their leadership expression. So instead of, I have my authority because I have my big office with a desk, right? I don't have that anymore. What was the management's response to that?
Huge resistance first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And my message to them was that if you don't walk the talk, nobody will. You right. are the examples. So if we, and I'm back to the introduction of the interview.
Absolutely.
If we want to attract the new generation, if we want to shift business models, we have to work differently. And we can't be expressing our leadership and our management style the way it was expressed 20 years ago, with a big car and a big corner office. And, you know, you open the door of the office and you shout at your team and you say, you come in my office now. And this is the old way to express the leadership. Mm-hmm. And for sure, the young generation will not accept it. So the leadership expression is much more difficult if you don't have assets, if you don't have ownership, if you don't have belongings to express it. Because those are some signs of leadership. I have a big office. I have a big screen. I have a big car. I have this team around me. You know, it's a way to express your leadership. It's a lot of signs for a leader. But if you take this all out, mm-hmm. what's left? And that's the very interesting part. What's left? That's the core of leadership that's left.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the essence of leadership, that's the core. And it becomes very interesting to see which leader can make this step.
It's fascinating, right? So the core of leadership, right, who you authentically are as a leader. And I would imagine, too, like how... the level of skill and self-awareness you bring into your leadership when all the trappings, so to speak, are gone from around you, right?
Yeah.
The car in the office.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. And did most of your managers make the transition?
No, not all of them. Some of them did not recognize themselves in this way of working. And then that's fine for me. I mean, it's, you have to be at ease with the company culture. Mm-hmm. But this is what I want to implement, and then it's time to make some decisions when you are not aligned on the way to work. As it's the life of a company, no worries with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, how has the company culture changed?
Interesting enough, a significant drop of email.
Mm-hmm.
And I can measure the traffic, and a significant drop of the traffic of emails, because people have found a way to interact together that is more efficient, since nobody is locked in an office anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You see each other very much easy if you are at the office, and if you're not, well, you just you move forward. You know, if I will give you another example. If you're at the office and you're stuck with a point, something you have to do in your work, and you're stuck, you don't know how to move forward. If your manager is next door, you will knock at the door. Hey, you have 2 minutes for me. I have a question for you. No, Bob, can you explain that? If your manager is not there, like you scratch your head and you think, you know, and you start to find a solution yourself. So instead of knocking at the door, you scratch your head and you go on. And the creativity in the organization has improved, and the number of emails have dropped.
Wow. That is such an important nuanced point, isn't it? Because a lot of folks would say, oh yeah, emails are going to go up, right? If people are working remotely, and you've had the opposite experience, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That is fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah.
People are more autonomous. They do more, they have more autonomy.
Yeah. Definitely. I can see that. That makes a lot of sense when you explain it the way that you did. So fascinating. Well, we are going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this really fascinating cultural transformation, and then also why innovation and remote work culture do go hand in hand. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
High-frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
Back on the Brilliance Ultimatum. I am Claudette Rowley here with my guest, Jan Toutant, who is the CEO of Econocom in the Netherlands. So Jan, before we jump back in here, for folks who are listening and absolutely fascinated by this topic, you know, that we're talking about, this level and this kind of transformation, what's the best way for them to find out more about you, more about your work, your podcast, your speaking, and everything that you put out into the world?
I'm very much active on LinkedIn, so that's the easiest way to find me. Jan Toutant, Y-A-N-N, and Toutant is T-O-U-T-A-N-T, and you easily find me on LinkedIn, and you will see all my publications, blogs, podcasts, all the content is there. Very easy to find me, and you can start interacting with the messaging platform of LinkedIn.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I like how, if you know, go to one place, find everything. That's kind of the, one of the themes of what I'm hearing our discussion right today, right? This idea of, you know, you're right, centralize, right?
Yeah.
Condense, right, yes. Yeah, exactly. So you know, right before the break, we were talking about how your company culture changed, the drop in email, for those who are just tuning in, increased efficiency from what I'm hearing, right? People will just move forward, right? Because if your boss, your manager's not right there and you can't go ask a question right away, you're just going to figure it out. And you mentioned there's more creativity. And so how, you know, I'm fascinated to learn more about how has innovation changed, right? It sounds like folks have gotten more innovative through this transformation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will explain it this way. If every morning for 3 years in a row, you're in the same traffic jam, mm-hmm. and you park the same on the same parking spot, and you take the same lift, and you grab the same coffee, and you meet the same colleague with this nice joke that you've heard 100 times, and then you sit at the same place, and you open your mailbox, and you start to work on your emails, I have difficulties to see where creativity kicks in this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
There's no inspiration. It's dry. It's a gray way of doing your work. By the opposite, if every day has a different way of going to your work, if one day you go to the office, the day after you go to a co-working space, the day after you work at a customer and a supplier, and the day after you're back to the office, then every day has a complete new setting, a complete new experience. And when you will be in this co-working space, for example, you will join another community of people that are dedicated to work, but in a complete different setting than your company. So you will be connected to people who work, but completely different. In a co-working space, you will have auto-entrepreneurs, you will have creative people, artistic people, everything. And those people, when you talk to them, they will, for example, show you their best app. You know, I always like when I meet someone in a co-working space, show me the apps you use the most on your phone. I always get very nice apps, you know. Very nice insight that I would never have from a colleague from my company.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to work at a customer or a supplier, you will meet another company culture, and you will be triggered to see, oh, maybe in my company, it's very nice. These things, they don't have it here, and you can bring them this thing. So you're proud of expressing what you have in your company. But you can also notice some ways of working, some tools they use that are very useful to bring back to your company or to yourself. So it's about being inspired by joining another working community, a co-working space community, a supplier community, a customer community, and also being connected to your own community. But if you stay all your life connected to the same working community or 5 years in a row, then it's obvious that your creativity will shrink and will not be triggered. You go into cruise control. You put your work life on a cruise control. So remote work is a huge accelerator of creativity, because it will kill your routine. It will kill your daily cruise control way of working. And it will help you to open up and to activate your curiosity.
It's, and thank you for that, because what I'm really hearing is, again, it's about the new experiences, isn't it? It's about
it is.
Having a new experience and getting off the cruise control.
Yeah.
And I, you know, what's striking me is in the US especially, which is mostly what I can speak to, when we say remote work, we're often meaning work from home, right?
Yeah.
And you're not saying, you can, in your, you know, the way you can work from home, right? But you can also work, you know, in 3 or 4 other places. So give you that new experience. Yeah.
If you listen carefully, I've never mentioned from home.
Right. Exactly. I was noticing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I on purpose, I encourage my people not to work from home, mm-hmm. because then you're not in a working community, and then you are, well, first of all, working from home, you need a dedicated place. You need to be able to focus, to concentrate. I think it's very difficult, personally, mm-hmm. unless mm-hmm. you have a big house and you have a separate office and you have no kids and no dogs and nothing to trigger you. That's one. And second, for the management, and the leaders, if they hear that their people are working remote, meaning they work from home, they will directly think and see their people sitting on a sofa playing with the PlayStation.
Right. Exactly.
Or doing the laundry or picking up the kids at school.
Yeah, exactly.
Which can be the case. I have no problem with that. But if you want to transit your organization towards remote work, mm-hmm. it's better to picture your employees working from your customer or co-working space than working from their sofa. So that's also a way to organize the transition. But second, I believe that if you stay working from home, you will lose the trigger of a new experience.
Absolutely. I think you do lose the trigger of a new experience. And you have, I mean, I have a home office because I'm a consultant, but I'm spending a lot of my time not in that office, right? So it's a whole different, I'm out having experiences. I'm doing this show, right? So I'm with clients. If I was sitting in literally in my home office every day, 5 days a week, right? It would be awful. Yeah. And it's not energizing at all.
It's not.
So that's a great distinction.
The commuting also, the commuting is a killer. Huh? You know, if you commute 1 hour a day, 2 hours back and forth, you spend 40 hours commuting at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah. And that's a lot of your life, right?
It's a lot of your life.
You probably didn't really enjoy. Yeah.
Who enjoys commuting? Please raise your hand.
Right. Unless it's 20 minutes or less, right? Something short. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or you can take public transportation, right? Read a book. Yeah. Something like that. But still, right.
Imagine if you can get rid of half of your commuting, 20 hours a month. Imagine if you say, instead of commuting, I will do 20 hours of sport or 20 hours of meditation or 20 hours of helping a local community. You know, it's huge, the room you create. Also about creativity and headspace, if you don't force people to commute.
And so what, you know, as employees, you've talked about what you've seen in terms of employee, you know, the employee transformation, what's coming, you know, less email, more creativity, more innovation, et cetera. What have employees reported? What have they said about this experience?
They all say, well, look, Ian, we are losing weight.
That must mean stress is going down. Good. Yeah.
And it can sound funny, but I have seen an improvement of the health of the employees. Because if you reduce commuting, if your mind is more triggered by curiosity, if you open up to co-working spaces, to new communities, you will also suddenly more take care of your body, more take care of yourself. Because you are very often in a connection with people you don't know. And you will be triggered by the fact that your personal branding has an impact on your personal branding, on the image, on your own image.
Absolutely.
And you will start to consider maybe eating better, doing a bit more sport, because this time you gain, and this interaction you have with much more people than usual makes you work better on yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. It does. So I've seen that. And I've seen also employees that are thankful for not forcing them to have to do things that they are not always happy to do. For example, coming to the office on a day where they would prefer not to commute and work from a remote space because it makes their life more easy because they have something personal to do during this day, for example. And there is someone coming at their home to do the maintenance of their heating system, for example. Well, they can stay next to their home, go to a co-working space and come back to their house to open the door to this technical guy. And that saves them a lot of time and energy to be able to do it themselves. Very basic things like this. But basically what I'm saying is to stop opposing work life and private life.
Right.
And to better combine them together.
Right. And that it's completely possible to do it and actually improves everything, right? Overall.
It does. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you for that. That was really, you know, fascinating to hear some of these, you know, the outcomes and how, you know, how this has really been coming together for your employees and customers. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Jan is going to share a little bit about you're going to share a little bit about a transition you're making, which will be exciting to learn more about. This is Claudette Rowley on the Brilliance Ultimatum. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live...
Hey, everybody, this is Claudette Rowley on the Brilliance Ultimatum, back with my guest here, Jan Touton. And we are talking about, wow, what happens when we shift from focusing on possessions to experiences? And speaking of experiences, right, Jan, you are about to embark on your own transition, aren't you, professionally and personally? Would you like to tell us a little bit about that? Yeah.
Yes, with pleasure. I've made the decision to start my own business.
Congratulations. Which will be,
thank you. Mm-hmm. I move from intrapreneur to entrepreneur.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And my business will be about providing expertise to scale-ups that need to have a bit more of seniority to grow to the next level. Mm-hmm. And this is something I propose to them, is to apply what I do today as a CEO, so the way I manage the organization, is to apply them to organizations that are still very young and very small, like between 50 and 100 people, mm-hmm. still, you know, like 3 to 5 years old, and they are about to grow, you know, to really make the big step and go international, grow with more customers, more employees, etc. And they don't really know how to take it, and I offer them a new way to do it, as what I've explained, in fact, during this interview, a new way to do it and to focus on experiences for their company and for their business instead of focusing on growing based on a lot of positions. So I really help them to open a way to grow the organization in a completely different way than the traditional way when you grow a company, like I did as a CEO for the last 9 years.
Wow, this sounds like a really exciting transformation, right? For you, transition, and probably transformation. Yeah. What did you make this change?
Well, I realized that. You know, I'm 48 and I reach an age where I want to have more impact. And mm-hmm. the way I can have impact is to have organizations and people in organizations having a life that is, you know, in better balance with their private life in general. I see a lot of people who suffer at work. You know, I see a lot of people who have... You know, they are not dancing with their work. They are against it. You know, it's like a punishment to go to work. They go to work to make money. Of course, we all have to make money. But I see a lot of managers also who don't know how to approach it and how to, you know, to provide a working environment that is that has a lot of hospitality in general. Hospitality for your workers in general, not only on the hardware side, but also on the software side. Mm-hmm. And this is something I've been able to implement in my organization, and it's something I want to scale up at a larger level. I really want to help leaders and managers, young managers, between 30 and 40 years old, are about to grow their company. I really want to help them to provide a platform for their employees and for their customers and suppliers, for their ecosystem, that has a lot of hospitality for all the people involved, so they can have a much comfortable work-life balance.
And based on what you've described, you know, over our conversation, it's work-life balance, and it's going to really positively impact their business, right? I mean, that those are one and the same from your perspective.
Of course, it's
yeah.
What you're mentioning, I don't mention it because it's obvious for me every day that I see the outcome. I mean, we all have to be profitable and to have growth and to please the shareholders, and the shareholders will not be pleased with, oh, we have happy employees. No, that's, of course, the shareholders, they want to see the share value going up. But this is a way to make the share value going up by having people being creative, autonomous, happy at work, loyal. And then this is the way to build a business on the long term.
Absolutely, right. So it's like you said, it's not something you talk as much about because you're in it, right? It's part of, but I, you know, as a consultant, and I do a lot of work with culture change work, I see that for some people, this is, I know it's a little, it might be odd to say, but it's still a new paradigm, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. That this kind of yeah. balance that we've described today actually increases business value, right, over time.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, we are in a constant shift of business models now. It goes so fast, the changes of business models.
That, that right.
You need a team that is agile and flexible enough to adapt. And if it comes from the top to the bottom, it doesn't work now. It has to be a team of people who have a lot of autonomy themselves to be able to shift themselves and to be, it's a lot of moving parts, you know, and people have to have the autonomy to be able to make those changes on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. They really, really do. Yeah. And so if you think over the last, you know, couple of years, I guess, no, it's probably about 3 years now, right? Since you've started this journey.
Yes.
What have been the, like, one or two biggest things that you've learned?
I've learned to trust the people, mm-hmm, and to delegate in a way that I was used to delegate tasks. Mm-hmm. You know, I was used to think the process and distribute the process to the people. And I've moved it to, I delegate responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So this is what we have to achieve. If it takes you a week, if it takes you 1 hour, that's not the point. The point is what we have to achieve. And this is this way of delegating is something I've developed a lot, to give trust to the people, to give them the playing field, to be able to express the way they're going to do it themselves. And sometimes I'm disappointed because I'm like, wow, if I would have done it myself, would have been better, and I should maybe have delegated tasks and not responsibility. Sometimes I'm positively surprised because I see the outcome and the way it's being done. I'm like, wow, I would never have done it this way. I would never have been so efficient or so smart, for example. Mm-hmm. So, and if you put that all together, the outcome is positive. The outcome is that I'm more often surprised than disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I used to say now that if the people I have that work for me, if those people are not able to work in the setting I'm describing, then it's not the right people. So if I give autonomy, if I give responsibility, if I give trust, and those people don't know how to use it, then I don't have the right people. As simple as that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a great paradigm and actually a great way to wrap up our show. So I want to thank you so much, Jan, for being with us today and sharing your wisdom, your inspiration, your insights, and your journey with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you to you, Claudette, for your nice platform and good questions.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Great conversation. And thank you so much to the listeners, as always, for tuning in. We always have a great time. Please join me twice a month, the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks. So until then, stay tuned and be brilliant. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, The Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Tune in next time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and move beyond the mindset of division. Each show, Claudette strikes right at the heart of the matter and looks past political squabbles, lack of humanity, and what she calls reality resistance. We just need the will. For more information about the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up, visit culturalbrilliance.com and join the cultural revolution. See you next time.